Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
A lot of us take the grace of God as an excuse to live in the land of compromise. And Paul's kind of calling them out. He says, yeah, God has grace for you. God has mercy. God has a calling for you, and it's a wonderful thing, and he's got hope, and he's got a life that you don't quite understand. But you know what? Just because God has mercy that you don't get it the first or the second or the third or fourth time shouldn't be an excuse to live in that land of one foot in, one foot out. I'm frustrated. I'm tired of not giving God my very best. I'm tired of living life like I got this bucket and I got a list of things to do, and I fill my bucket with the list of things that I need to do, and then whatever's left over, that becomes God's. And does anybody resonate with what I just said? Now, I'm not saying it's not okay, but I've recognized that, and life happens. And I know we're all busy, but you know what? I think the things that we prioritize and the way that we go about our lives might not be the most efficient way for our eternity. You see, we do live as temporal creatures, and we do live in a temporal world. We have a time where we have a set number of years that we're on this earth. We have a set number of hours in each day. We can do so much. We have to get rest. We have to make a living. We have to take care of our kids. We have chores. I got a hole in my window that I need to patch. All those things are great, and they need to be done. But what happens is we lose sight of eternity, and we spend so much of our efforts and energy not preparing. And my fear is that we always assume, well, we'll get around to working in our relationship with God. We'll get around to knowing him more. Well, it's kind of a similar type of thing going on. And Paul's calling them out. Now, the good thing is, Paul says, look, this is how you're supposed to live your Christian walk. You all have a job. Everybody say job. Okay, there should be a zero unemployment rate in the church when I'm talking about spiritual jobs, all right? But it's not just job. It's a word that we're uncomfortable with. It's a word that I'm uncomfortable with. Everybody in the kingdom, if you are in relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have a job. But the job is not just a job. Get ready. Everybody grab your seat or put your seatbelt on. Ready? The job is ministry. And because these folks had an understanding of what ministry was that was kind of based in this Judaism, in the Jewish teachings, which were the law. And here's what he says about this their concept of ministry, and he wants to give them a new concept of ministry. And I think that we need to have the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 7 through 18, but we're going to break it up. Ready? Starting in verse 7. Listen to what he says about this ministry, and this is kind of how they're operating. And to be honest, I'm just going to step my foot in it today. I think a lot of us still view it like this. Now, if the ministry of, what's the word? Huh? The ministry of death. What is he calling the ministry of death? Let's find out. Carved in letters on a stone. What was carved on a stone? Ten Commandments, the law, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Now, time out. He's taking a little segment of Israel's history that comes from Exodus chapter 34. Moses went up and he got the Ten Commandments and he had this encounter with God. And the angels were around, and because of this encounter and getting the Ten Commandments, he came down and his face glowed. I mean, it shined, and it freaked everyone out. Moses had exposure to God. Because of this exposure to God, his face glowed. Wouldn't that mess with you? Say, well, Pastor, your head's glowing right now. I beat you to the punch. I knew you were thinking it. Shame on you. Not talking about perspiration. I'm talking about the presence of God. The presence of God glowed from Moses, and it freaked people out. I want you to know this. When you have an encounter with God, it'll have an effect on your life, and not everybody's going to be on board. Not everybody is going to be on board. In fact, it freaked the people out so much that Moses kind of caved. And he decided to go to blinds.com and get a nice little Venetian blind set for his face. I mean, honestly, he got this little thing, this cloth, and he hung it in front of his face so that everyone else wasn't freaked out. I just picture him, you know, this little walking around with, the joke about, you know, put a bag on your head type of thing. No, he literally put this thing on his face to protect it. Now, Moses, think about Moses. Moses, God says, hey, Moses, I want to use you, and I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And what did Moses say? Moses said, God, I don't speak that well. Not me. How about someone else? How about Aaron? God's gracious. You know what? This tells us something about God. God is really gracious. God called Moses, and Moses wasn't that excited. And a lot of us, I'm telling you, God is calling you to do some things, to make some stands in some ways, to be his face, his voice, his hands, his feet, his compassion, his embrace, his love in the lives of people around you. And we can do the Moses, which is, hey, find somebody else because I don't want to take the heat. I'll stand behind him. I'm having this effect of God, but I'm going to cave to everyone else. I'm just going to put a veil around it. Or we can do something different. Paul's kind of calling it out. Here's what Paul says. Look, this ministry of death, the law, he says, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? Verse 9. For if there was glory in the ministry, and he calls it of condemnation. In other words, he's calling the law the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. Now, I'm not saying the law is bad. It's not. I'm not saying the law is evil. It is not. The law is neither evil nor is bad. The law is incomplete. The Ten Commandments are wonderful. They're great. They're powerful. They let us know that God is holy. They let us know that how we live in relationship to one another. The law told us that if you have an issue in your life that makes you unclean and you come into the community, the congregation, you're going to affect everyone else. Your stuff hurts those around you. That's what the law said. And the law said, here's how we deal with it. You take this sacrifice, you make this offering, you spend this time, you cleanse, and then you can be re-fellowshipped together because God is holy. You just don't walk before God any which way. He is holy. He is perfect. Here's what the law could not do. Change the inside. The law could not change your heart. Only Jesus can do that. And that's what Paul is beginning to say. There's a ministry of the law, but the ministry of the law is a ministry of death. In verse 9, it's a ministry of condemnation. But it talks about the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. So because the ministry of the law made Moses' face glow, fasten your seatbelts, something more powerful is going to happen in your life. Woo! You thought you were weird already. It's going to make a difference. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all. That's the old, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, how much more will what is permanent have glory? He's saying there's something better. There's something better than pointing out someone's missteps. And you need to do this to make it right. There's something better than the law, which was temporary. It's pointing to something permanent and something eternal, something greater. Let's go on to verse 12. Since we have such a hope, In other words, this new ministry, this ministry of Jesus, gives us such a hope, we are very bold. Now, time out. Can we say that about ourselves right now? Can we say that this is how we function, that we are very bold? Well, if you get it, and I mean if you get. You see, I had a lot of years at church, and my church experience, I never wanted to invite someone to come to church unless they said, hey, we're going to give you stickers for whoever brings the most people. That was why I did it. Here's where everything changed. When I didn't just have church, I learned who Jesus was. And I began to get a relationship with Jesus. And I knew that Jesus gave me a second chance. And I knew that God loved me. And He took care of all my sin and all my failure. And in spite of myself, He gave me hope and life and a new ministry. And I want to tell people about that guy. Our relationship with God is going to be reflected in our worship to a certain degree. It really is. When we get lost in that and we understand we're communicating something. Paul's beginning to get to this heart. He says, look, their minds were hardened. Verse 14. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains. They don't know God, they know about Him. Because only through Christ is it taken away. That only through Jesus do we really understand the power of the gospel. He says, yes, to this day, verse 15, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their faces. Verse 16, but when one turns to the Lord, my voice is just about to go, the veil is removed. Verse 17, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. So what he's saying here is, because of this new ministry, because of what Jesus did, we have hope, and that hope brings boldness. Moses had a cool encounter with God. It made his face glow. We have a cooler one. We really do. Because Moses' ministry couldn't change the heart. The law doesn't change the heart. Jesus changes the heart. I'm just curious, is there anybody in the room today whose heart has been changed? Is there anyone who knows? Look, I was this. Something is drastically different. And I can't quantify. There's no scientific formula who can show proof. I just know this. What once is something different. I can tell you, I don't have the same priorities that I used to have. The same value for people. But not only do we have this, we have boldness. God offers new life. Now, look, if you're not there yet, hang in there. God offers new life, not a dead religion. And that is the truth. It's not an act of will that removes sin. It's an act of grace. And so we have boldness, we have freedom, but what Paul is telling us is we have a job. Now, those of you, I'm about to gross some people out. You ready? How many of you have ever needed to clip your toenails? And my wife just put her hand on her face. Okay, so I hope that you take care. If you need to clip your toenails, isn't that kind of your job to clip your toenails? Everybody just like really grossed out. I'm not going to answer. Like you don't have toenails? Like they don't grow? You need more calcium in your diet or something. Seriously, all you learn. No, they just miraculously, like the manna from heaven, my toenails just miraculously. No, that's your job. You clip your toenails, right? I hope you're not the people who bite them because that's just gross. How many of you know someone who you caught biting their toenails? I didn't say hand, I said toenails. Slip your hand in the air. Come on, I want to see it. Anybody know somebody? You lie, you fry. You serious? Seriously. You know you have. You're just too proper and prim people to know that you've seen just gnawing on there. Okay, you know a little kid who's done that, and you're like, stop that. You don't know where that's been. Okay, it's your job to do. And now, those of you who have pets, I have a dog, and my dog needed its toenails cut. And so I grabbed and I bit. No, I didn't. I'm just teasing. I did not do that. No. In fact, I don't feel comfortable clipping my dog's nails because they're supposedly, if you go too far, then blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, I'm not going to mess with it. I pay somebody to do that. That's not my job. If I go to the zoo and I pass my favorite pachyderm exhibit and I look in there and Tuffy the elephant needs a toenail clip, am I going to be this guy? How many of you going to do that? Matt, Is that in your skill set? No. Okay. And he's a vet. We don't have a lot of pachyderms here in Pike County, the Pike County pachyderm people. Nice alliteration. But we don't have that. So even he's not going to do it. So there's some jobs that are yours to do, and there's some jobs that are not yours to do, some jobs that are specialists to do. How many of you brush your teeth in the morning? I'm really glad to see everyone's hands go up on that one. Is it someone else's job to brush your teeth? Okay, since you wouldn't come clean on the toenail comment, how many of you 30 minutes before your dentist appointment, you really brush your teeth? Come on, show me your hand. As if that 30 minutes right before is going to make them know that you, yeah, I really, and they say, uh-huh. So they do that. I like this guy. This guy is my favorite guy. Here's how men brush their teeth. And they get it all over their face. Yeah, there's a real man brushing their teeth. Okay, so if it's your job to do that. Now, if you have your tooth, all of a sudden you break a tooth, or perhaps that you have a chip in your tooth, or that something happens and you really feel that there's a problem there, are you going to go take some pliers and be this guy? Is that your job? How many of you have done that? I don't think probably any of us. This is kind of silly. You're not going to just sit there and take pliers and do that. Are you going to go to the dentist's office and take the sucky thing and put it in and then fill your mouth with cotton and then ask yourself a lot of questions once your mouth is totally full and their hands are in it? Are you going to, how's your day today? Don't you love that when you go to a dentist and they, so how are your kids doing? And they know what you're saying. I was giving Dr. Speckhart a hard time about that this morning. So the truth is, that's not your job. If you go by and if your child falls and breaks their arm, I know we've had a lot of that happen, your job is to take them to the ER. Or if you come across somebody who's having chest pains, your job is to call the ambulance. Your job is not, unless you are some doctor here in the room that I don't know about, your job is not to set their arm or to perform open heart surgery, is it? Here's the point of what I'm trying to make. There are things in your life that are your job. As Christians, we have a ministry. It is ours to do. It is important. It is critical. There are other things it is not ours to do. Let's take a look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through chapter 4, verse 3. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Who removed that veil? Who? That's not how we act. We act like it's our job to change people. We act like it's our job to fix them. And so we get frustrated. I've been sharing Christ with someone for 3 years, and they haven't received Christ. I have failed. No, you haven't. Your job is not to change anybody. Your job is not to give up either. Your job is not to judge. He says, now, the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. This comes from me. This comes from the preacher. This comes from the person on TV or whoever's podcast I listen to. Who does it come from? The Lord, who is Spirit. Chapter 4. Therefore, having this, what's the next word? Ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. You have a ministry. God gave it to you. God wants to be the power and the force behind it. Your job is to do the ministry and not lose heart. Amen? But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper God's word. But by open statements of the truth, we would commend ourselves to anyone's conscience and to the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled only toward those who are perishing. 3 points real quickly this morning to help you understand what is your ministry. Point number one is this. Part of your ministry is to let God do His part in your life. That means part of my ministry is not to set up shop in the land of compromise. Part of my ministry, for those of you who are like, I'm just not skilled to do ministry. Yes, you are. God skills you. God gives gifts to you. And part of that is to allow transformation to come. God wants to transform your lives. The problem is we don't allow Him to do it. Why do I not allow God to do it? Look, he says, Paul says this, we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. God wants to give us a new life. If we continue to resist the new life that God gives us, we don't change. God wants to change us. God will always, there's a verse that says that you will never be tempted. God will not let you to be tempted more than you can take. But with the temptation, he will also give you a way out. God will give you a way out. The problem is, we don't wait for the way out. We don't look for the way out because, quite frankly, a lot of us just like to sin. Amen. Are we resisting change? Part of your ministry is to not resist change, but allow that transformation to come. The second part is part of your ministry, and God doing his part, is to remain in his word. He says to refuse to resist, or he calls it tampering with God's word. How do we tamper with God's word? I really like the parts of scripture that I agree with. But the parts that challenge me, the parts of the Bible that don't fit in 2017, because after all, this is what it's really all about, is 2017. We need to go back and change God. Because if God were, I love when people say, well, if Jesus were alive today, he'd say things differently. Really? Okay. Don't tamper. Don't resist God's word. In fact, because honestly what God's word does is it equips us. And so before you find out, oh, well, you know, the church is so judgmental. You know what? Jesus was really hard on the religious people, but if you look at how Jesus dealt with sinners, Jesus went and loved them and gave them compassion. Now, I'll be happy to debate anyone who wants to take that one on. Call me and we'll be happy to have a long conversation about this. I love how Paul follows this up. He says, look, he says, remain in God's word. Don't tamper with it. Don't resist it. But also, don't hide his change. And he had this in long conversation about Moses, how Moses hid his face. Brothers and sisters, he says, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Don't veil your face when God wants to change some things in your life. Well, I'm afraid. What if I lose a friendship over it? Well, honestly, be loving. Be loving to them. And there are times I have lost stuff, but I've also gained stuff. God doesn't teach me to be a jerk to people. God teaches me to be loving and compassionate and to be there for them. Don't veil your face. There's something interesting. Again, Moses hid his face from God when he first encountered God, and he hides his face to men when he's supposed to be revealing that God changes him. Don't be like that. I love Moses, but God has something far better for us. Don't hide what God is doing in your life. Amen? Second point is this. Part of your ministry is to do your part in others' lives. And what is my part in others' lives? Number one, to tell them about Jesus. I must understand the gospel. If you don't understand the gospel, then let's take part in Sunday school. We're getting ready to revamp Sunday school at First Christian Church. We're also going to change some service times. We've had some leadership meetings. We've been in prayer for a long time. We're going to change our schedule. And I know we struggle with change. And I don't know what exactly, we don't have the fullness of what it's going to look like, but we want to invest in Sunday school to equip our young people. We want to do it better. We want to do it more effective. We want to give more opportunities for our adults to grow and to have some times as well. If you say, look, I don't know how to share the gospel, I'd love to have 6 weeks to just teach anyone how to share the gospel. And I get that everyone's nights are so busy, we can't find. So you know what? Sunday morning, we're going to find some time to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. We're supposed to proclaim the gospel. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the heart of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And the second thing we're supposed to do besides proclaiming the gospel is to love them and to be controlled by Christ's love. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we are supposed to do. To love them and to tell them about Jesus. And let's go to the third point here for sake of time. Third point is this. So we're called to let God do his job in our lives. We're called to do our job in others' lives. But here's the big one. Only God can do God's part. You can't save somebody else. You can't. You can love them, you can tell them about Jesus, and then you can keep loving them, and you can keep telling them about Jesus. You can continue to love them. Paul is the demonstration here. These people didn't get it, and he kept staying with them. He said the hard thing. He said it in love. And that's what we are called to do. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry. That is that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Guys, we are called to love. We are called to share the gospel. We're called to not give up. And I believe that there are people in our lives here in the room today. There are people who we've given up on. And I'm saying, don't give up. You can't save. It's not your job to save anyone. It's your job to let Christ do his work in you. It's your job to let Christ transform you. It's your job to not yield to that. It's your job to not hide what Christ is doing in you. And it's our job to serve, to not hold back. We are called to be their ambassadors. You see, you don't change anyone. Your job is to share the gospel. It's their job to hear and respond. And it's God's job to save. Again, it's your job to share and love. It's their job to hear and receive. And it's God's job to save them. My whole point for the message today. Don't veil your face. Some of us, we put up some shades. We come in this room, we take the veils off. Yay, we do our thing. And then we leave. And about the time we hit that door, we put the veil back up. Well, my spiritual walk is, it's a deeply personal thing. Great, I hope it is a deeply personal thing. But you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You have boldness. God, you may be the only person in people's spheres of influence to demonstrate Christ to them. Don't shy away. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one gathered in this room today. And God, I pray, as Moses, man, he had a fantastic ministry. He sure wasn't perfect. We see things that are different. He was part of a different covenant. But Lord, help us to learn the lessons. Help us to be impactful in people's lives. Help us to be influential in people's lives. Help us, God, to bring your love and the gospel and what it means. Let our faces shine with such a way, not that we're judgmental, but that we look for ways to demonstrate your kindness. I pray right now, people who we've given up on, people who we've gotten so frustrated with, and we've felt like a failure, Lord, help us to not take that condemnation. But Lord, help us to be convicted, to go forward, and to take the ministry in which you've called us to do, and to do it to the best that we can through your gifting and your love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults and a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.